Rodgers, who the only place he's going to take you to is the toilet bowl. And then you got Brett Favre, who will take you to the Super Bowl.
I do like me a triple butterburger with cheese. The works, you know, ketchup, mustard, pickles.
Could the package be really good? Yeah, I certainly would love that. But also, to say that, is this look like a rebuild? Probably.
If you think we're in a rebuild, then you got the wrong team.
QB1, man.
Come on, man.
Best QB in the league right now.
What's up, John Money?
He ran right in front of me. I'm like, huh?
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Janis.
And Janis does not stop it. Oh, please. What a cat. That's insane.
And you're listening to the Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello, hello.
And training camp is officially over. A hot one today. It was the last public practice. I know we haven't had an episode in the last 2 weeks. You know, we talked 2 weeks about practice, and then it's been 2 weeks, and we didn't talk about any of the games, but now we are back. So, Todd, with training camp officially over, how are you feeling? What's the vibe? You know, a lot of optimism going on. How are you feeling right now?
So, I would say surprisingly optimistic.
Ooh.
Just for the simple fact of, like, everything that's happened over the last 6 months has had the beginning, you know, it's like the stages of grief, right?
Yes. Yes.
And like, I was already in acceptance, but I'm actually like, I feel like I've taken some steps back, and this is football grief we're talking about now. And now I'm in training camp high, right? Mm-hmm. So like I had accepted that we weren't going to be very good this year, but now I've gone backwards and I'm ready to have my hopes and dreams smashed. When we eventually aren't good, even though I feel like we will be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Because every fan base right now has to be optimistic, right? I can't think of even, you know, well, it's every offseason, but like when the Bears fans are.
I was going to say, I'm a Bears fan right now. Like that's the state of mind I'm in.
Oh, because.
I'm not a fan of the Bears, but like the state of mind where Bears fans get to at this point. That's me right now.
That's exactly where I am too, because I know it might have been an off-season podcast or maybe the end of the season, but I made fun of Bears fans for like coming up with these fantasies of how a game's going to go or how week one's going to go. And then I, with this hype with Jordan Love, and I've obviously, you know, had my doubts, but you know, I'm hyping myself up about it now too, where I'm like, God, what if he goes in week one and then he like we're shit kicking him or something. And then he runs one in and then he like says something like I'm the new owner or something lame, cheesy like that. And I'd be like, oh, fuck, I am all in on the stupid Disney, you know, rah, rah shit now. But
it's the worst. I saw something on Twitter today and it was like these are the top three teams at betting odds to not make the playoffs. I was like, oh, that actually the Packers are one of them. I was like, we might make the playoffs. Maybe that's a good bet to take.
Yeah, because they have us at Vegas has us at 7.5 wins, which at first I thought was pretty perfect. And now I feel like we'll wait until, you know, a couple weeks out for our actual predictions, but I feel like Jordan Love is going to have a very similar like year that Rodgers had last year, and we're probably going to end up 8-9 or 9-8. That's kind of what I'm feeling like right now, and I don't know. It's mostly good, because I don't think I would have said that, you know, a few months ago when we were first handing the keys over to him.
I think same thing. I was a lot more doom and gloom going into this offseason.
Yes, yes. Because, I mean, even minicamp, he wasn't looking great, and he's slowly, I mean, not a ton of improvement. I think his deep ball seems to have improved over training camp, but I guess we can get right into it now, too, starting with quarterbacks. Again, today, last day of practice, super hot. It was like, I think it was in the hundreds in Green Bay. We're in the Twin Cities where it was similar to that, too, but
it was a hot one.
I know, like, Devonta Wyatt dropped out because of how hot it was and everything too. But
you know what's bad when you walk up to like get to work in the morning and the doors are sweating. The metal doors are sweating. Like, this is gonna be a rough day.
Like yesterday too, you just go outside and you get like that sauna feel. Yeah. You know, like immediately.
It's like a wall.
Yeah, it's like dense outside.
It's like walk through dense. The humidity, you're like pushing it aside as you walk.
Yeah. But Jordan Love, you know, the hype train, like we kind of mentioned there, is in full effect right now. I think just about every beat reporter, and I think just about everyone paying attention, has said that he has looked better than expected this training camp, which is great, especially now after the Pats game two, where the hype going on with the national media is going on. Rich Eisen had some great things to say. I think, you know, he was like, is this going to be the third Hall of Fame quarterback in a row, and some other guys on ESPN, whatever. I'm always trying to be a realist. And again, Aaron Rodgers, that Cowboys game, he had 26 attempts. And that's when we were like, okay, feel pretty good about this guy. Or at least that's, you know, we know now that's when the Packers were ready to turn the keys over to him.
Yeah.
Jordan Love now, he had 9 attempts against the Eagles. He's had 18 throws this preseason. That's 27 attempts. So he has one more throw than Aaron Rodgers had when he played the Cowboys, you know, the year before he started. So we still have a very, very small sample size, and I do think he's going to have some accuracy issues, but we're at a very, very fun spot in Packers history right now, or at least the Jordan Love era, because it's like, I don't know what the fuck he's going to be, but right now I don't think he's going to suck ass, and I will take that right now.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous, right? Like, I think, okay, he looks way better than I thought he was going to look. Watching the ball come out of his hand. I mean, it was never a question about his arm, but watching the ball come out of his hands, and like, I watched a little thing on like Dan Orlovsky, I think, did that thing on like his footwork.
There's like, Dan Orlovsky and then JT O'Sullivan. He spent a training camp with the Packers back in like 2004, 2005.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a big breakdown.
Oh, really?
Too. Yep.
I like Orlovsky. He's the guy who ran out of the back of the end zone, the Jared Allen.
I don't
right?
like him.
He was the Lions.
Shithead. Yeah.
You don't like Dan Orlovsky, or you don't
no,
like Jared Allen?
No, he's such a little fuck. He's a little sleazeball. He sucked in the league. Oh. He's a smart guy, and he's pretty good
at... You can suck in the league and be good, though. At yes. talking about football. Look
absolutely.
At us.
He's yeah, football so captain Todd. But I mean, he's just a little Weasley guy, but he is great at breaking down.
That, no, that's what I mean. I'm not saying I like him as a football player.
The other thing too, because Jason Willey doesn't really like him, but because Orlovsky used to come on Willey and Tausch all the time.
Okay.
And then once he got popular, he like stopped returning their calls and shit. So he's kind of a douchebag that way.
Oh, that's
but
too bad.
But he did go on the show this year, and he revealed that he was even talking to Matt LaFleur about a possible coaching position on the staff at one point, which I don't need any of those fucking talking head guys.
I don't love
the Packers.
That, but
yeah, but
anyways,
yeah.
He was talking about the footwork, and that got me really excited. And maybe feel like it is kind of all coming together. Like we talked about, you know, people have talked about prior to of just like, he's just not ready. Like things aren't there. He doesn't look as, I mean, I don't think confidence is maybe the thing, but like, he doesn't look like he puts it all together, but now it does kind of seem like he's putting it all together.
Yeah.
He is confident. Like, so all that is, I mean, it's training camp, right? At the same time, you have to, who's he playing against, right? We're playing against twos and threes.
Yes.
I mean, even if there's ones out there, it's not twos and threes. Bill Belichick's going to give you a watered down defense. He's not going to throw anything fun at you. So that is probably the most important thing about being a quarterback in the NFL. I've got to imagine everybody can throw the ball. It's, can you read a defense? Can you make good decisions consistently? So exciting, but at the same time, until week one, we don't know what we're going to see.
Right. And that's, I obviously think about it way too much, but it's to that point where I like the way he runs the offense is great. You know, he's running it the way Matt wants him to, which Rodgers obviously didn't always do, and they obviously had a couple more wrinkles that Rodgers liked to run that they're probably not going to run with Jordan Love. But then at the same time, the number one thing with Jordan Love right now is that he knows the offense better than anyone else who's with him. You know, I mean, that's just a fact. Other than him, it's second year, you know, pass catchers outside of Josiah Deguara. Mm-hmm. And the thing for me is he's very valuable right now, but let's say we moved on from Matt LaFleur or something. I wonder how he would look in training camp and all of this if he had to learn another offense. Now, we don't have to worry about that, but either way, the way he was set up with this offense, knowing this offense, all these young guys around him, and just the way the Aaron Rodgers era ended, he couldn't be stepping into a better situation. I like to think Rodgers was such an asshole down the line because he saw how poorly Favre managed that situation, where he was more of an asshole at the end because he likes Jordan so much and he wanted this transition to be, you know, as easy as possible, where, you know, like today too, fans were cheering him on and he went around and was high-fiving everyone. So
yeah, I will
very
say,
happy.
Yeah, as far as like the transition, it's like the, you know, Rodgers walked so Jordan could run. Yeah. Like the transition from Favre to Rodgers was horrible.
And yes,
Rodgers handled it really well, to be honest.
Yes.
I mean, like, amazingly. And then now Jordan Love, I mean, what an easy transition for him. Like, could not be easier as far as, like, I feel like he has fan support.
Yes, for now. And like
for
we
now.
Said, we still think he's going to be pretty solid. But if he isn't good, it would be a very interesting, you know, I'd like to see how the fan base reacts, because everything is so positive and optimistic right now. And it wasn't a couple months ago, where I'd like to see, you know, what tribe everyone is kind of going
how
to
quickly,
locate to.
Let me ask you this. What is the record where the Wolves come out? So what is that? Give me out of six. What record, the minimum threshold for the, we're calling for Jordan Love's job.
You know, if six wins, they're still fine. And I kind of think of this too with Matt LaFleur.
What if they're 1-6 or 1-5?
Oh, you're saying?
I'm saying like games. what is the threshold, like at six games? Because that's about how long before people really start tossing you under the bus.
Yeah.
Give it 4 to 6 games. If somebody looks bad for six games, they're probably not going to look good.
But that's part of it too with this optimism, is it's a cupcake schedule this year, and even at the beginning of the year it's looking pretty good, because I know one of the guys, like, we could be 4-2 pretty easily to start the season. So I don't know, it's going to be a year-long thing anyways, but again, we're not going to know until we actually see, you know, him play week one snaps. And you know, you talked about the vanilla defense stuff too. I loved watching him in the post-game presser, where he was breaking down how he waited and manipulated the linebacker with his eyes and waited until, you know, Reed got past him and then ripped the ball. And it's like, that sounds cool because he's, you know, verbalizing how he broke down the play. But then at the same time, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, that was the linebacker in zone coverage and he just waited for Reed to run by him. Like, it's not that difficult. It'll be different when teams are actually scheming for Jordan Love rather than preseason games and stepping in for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think like the analysis is always cool after the play, but there's definitely a big difference between Rodgers explaining why he threw the ball high and outside versus low and inside, and because of like all that's like when he breaks down a play versus Jordan Love. And like, not to discredit him, but like, I think if you showed up on a Friday night in Green Bay and you asked a quarterback a similar question, who's playing on Friday night, they maybe could give you the same answer. That's just I'm just saying, like, it's not really like an amazing breakdown. They'd be like, yeah, I just waited for a bit.
Right.
Wait until he was open and I threw the ball. So, yep. Good job. It was zone coverage.
Yep.
So
makes
like
sense.
I'm excited for week one, week two, week three. Now let's see. Now let's see how he looks when you got good. I mean, what defenses are we going up here to? We got the Bears, Falcons, Saints, first three games. So,
yeah, I mean, that'll be a good test too. I believe, well, that Saints game is at Lambeau, but the Bears should have an okay defense. Yep. Falcons, I don't know. Saints have a pretty good defense. So,
Lions defense week four.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that'll actually be good. That'll be a good little test for them. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. Either way, it all comes down to Soldier Field. Soldier Field is like a whole, that's going to be a moment type game, because it's
actually, you know,
changing of the guards. I wish it was at night. That's what gives me some pause, because I believe it's an afternoon game, but whatever. Well, we've talked quite a bit about Jordan Love here. So
what if Jordan Love wins the game and does the belt?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he has a go-ahead touchdown and we get into this stupid Disney fantasy land shit where, like, go ahead, belt on, and fucking starts yapping at the Bears fans, like, I will melt. I'll be like, oh my God, my life is amazing. I'm so glad I'm a Packer fan.
Okay, yeah, we do have to move on, because too much in that.
Yeah, so completely different direction. We definitely won't stick with quarterbacks. No, we will. Sean Clifford, he's looked pretty good too. I mean, what a fun preseason. Usually preseasons can really suck, especially the second half of games. But with the depth we have at wide receiver, offensive line, and a decent backup quarterback in Alex Magoo, if he's ever able to step in again, it's an offense that's moving the ball and it's exciting to watch. You know, Sean Clifford, he was fun. That throw in the Bengals game to Ture, where he was like running and just flicked it down the sideline and hit him perfect, that was very impressive. So if nothing else, I think Clifford is better than what we expected, and he should be a competent backup this year, especially for a rookie.
Should we apologize for shitting on him after he got drafted?
Yeah, I don't know. We kind of apologized last week too, but I don't care. Fuck him. He's kind of a ginger or something. Oh. I don't know. Yeah. Ouch. There we go.
Shout out to all the gingers.
Yeah. Wideouts. Very interesting group once again, you know, like all the groups this year. Romeo Dubs has had a much better second half to training camp. He had that nice catch against the Patriots, which was pretty cool. I'm watching it live and I'm like, I think, you know, people are always so fixated at the end of the play that they don't always look at the feet. And I'm like, I think he was dragging his foot for a while. And sure enough, they overruled it. And it was a deep, deep catch. I think it was like 40 some yards right down the sideline. Jaden Reed has looked like a dude too. There's been so many new guys on this team and so many different players to talk about. Jaden Reed's almost like, you know, slipped through the cracks where he doesn't have a lot of hype, but it really seems like he's going to be an interchangeable part of this offense, at least between him, Dobbs, and Christian Watson, where those are going to be the three guys. And then whoever else, you know, we find out, that's just a bonus, really, because I think those are three bona fide receivers. And sticking with Watson, too, we haven't seen a ton out of him. There was that deep throw to him in the Bengals game, but I like that, and obviously LaFleur is going to do it, but we're not seeing those deep routes that we know we're going to see come the regular season, because that's something that Jordan Love has worked on quite a bit, too, where he was struggling with that early. And then I think he even said to the media that he's not looking to underthrow those deep balls anymore. And since then, it seems like, if anything, he's overthrowing guys, which is, you'd obviously rather have that. So any thoughts on the top three dudes there?
I think, I think it'll be fun to watch him throw to Christian Watson.
True.
And then seeing him, I mean, that's a guy you can't really, I mean, you can, but it's hard to overthrow Christian Watson.
Yeah.
I think Dubs, too, is going to be fun to watch. I think he got kind of bit by the Rodgers doesn't love you bug last year.
Yes, more than
so
anyone,
that's,
yes.
That's pretty tough. When he had a good connection with Love all last training camp, too, it seemed like. And then just kind of like, he didn't disappear, but he was kind of absent most of the year when he seemed to be one of the top performers in preseason.
I think he lost his confidence, and then that ankle injury really fucked him, and he was,
Yeah. Yeah. And then obviously with Jaden Reed, I mean, he's a really fun guy and he seems really explosive. And it's really what I feel like this team has been missing in the passing game is that explosive underneath guy, right? Like Lazard was freaking awesome to have, but he's a big, slow receiver, right? Mm-hmm. And like, then you got Cobb, used to be young and explosive, a little bit older now, didn't quite pop, right? He was always in the right spot, but like, it's just nice to have those athletes.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that I've thought of is like that meme where it's like, show me the real slot receiver. And then it's Darius Shepherd. Show me the real slot receiver. And then it's Amari Rodgers. And it's like, show me the real slot receiver. It's like, Jaden Reed. Okay, I think we finally got a guy with a bill that can actually hold up in the NFL. So.
But that's what we thought about Amari too. We thought when we got Amari, it was like, this guy looks
when we drafted him, I was excited. After that, and especially with the punt return shit, he got sour on him pretty quick. And he was like, he was one of those guys who was like, oh my God, coach's son, you know, his dad was the receiver coach for the Ravens when he got drafted, and he coached at Clemson and shit too.
And he was like, mentored by Cobb.
Yeah, mentored by Cobb. I was like, this is perfect. And then it's like, oh wait, maybe like his dad had to hold his hand for these kids and shit. But I don't know. I feel bad for Amari. I really feel like there was a video that came out after he got drafted that when he was training or something, they're like, well, who would you like to play with in the league? And he's like, oh, I'd love to play with Aaron Rodgers. And then Aaron Rodgers just fucking broke his soul. So
that is sad.
Yeah. Other than that, It's a very deep group this year. I wish we could have had some of these fun projects in previous years.
Right.
Obviously, a little tough when Cobb was kind of, you know, penned in and Lazard and fucking Sammy
Watkins. When Rogers
Watkins
stole the pen and was writing names down.
Which is fine. I mean, I was fine with
I was fine with it too.
Bringing him back would have been better if we just didn't fucking draft Amari Rogers.
That's true. Yeah.
But obviously, Malik Heath, he's kind of been the, you know, undrafted guy of training camp. Talked a little bit about that on the last episode, but he keeps producing in these preseason games with Sean Clifford. It was funny because they asked him after the game. Sean Clifford's like, "Oh, what's this, you know, relationship like? You know, this what you have going on with Malik Heath?" And he's like, "Oh, it's great. You know, I trust him so much. Blah blah blah." And he was like, kind of heartfelt. And then they asked Malik Heath the same thing after the game. He's like, "Yeah, I just like that he keeps throwing me the ball." And that was like pretty much it. Like he was just more so that. But he's been great. He seems to be the prototypical, I guess this isn't prototypical, but the Lazard replacement. But it's very tough just with how this is all shook out because we have Watson, Dobbs, Reed, who are all guaranteed. I would say Wicks, the fifth round pick, pretty much guaranteed as well. And then it's, you know, Malik Heath, who's been pretty much the best of these young guys who came in. But then it's Samari Toure and Bo Melton, who was good at the beginning of the year. And then it's Grant DuBose, who didn't practice until a week ago for the first time. And he's been performing really well, too. I mean, he had a couple nice grabs in the preseason game against the Pats, too. So it's tough because if you keep all the drafted guys, along with Toure and Malik Heath, that's seven guys. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think, if I had a guess right now, I think we're cutting Samari Toure, and then we're going to keep Malik Heath. Maybe it ends up being Grant DuBose who we cut, but it's
tough
to keep.
Well, and you haven't even talked about Cody Kress, who we talked about before. Randy Moss said is the best young wide receiver.
I looked that up after, too, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you fell for that. But
I got God.
Cody Kress is going to be a practice squad guy for sure.
Okay, but so to the wide receivers though, like fullback, we're not keeping a fullback.
Yeah, I don't think so.
McGuire is getting cut. Henry Pearson's not making the squad.
Yeah,
okay, so they keep trying to make Pearson happen too.
Yeah,
and then you've got three running backs. You're keeping Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, and Lou Nichols. right?
And Lou Nichols, who hasn't practiced in 2 weeks.
You know, if Goody invests a draft pick in you, though, you're staying on the team for 3 years minimum.
Well, maybe. Well, so let's talk about running backs right now. So Emmanuel Wilson, we haven't talked about him too much before this. So, you know, into camp, it was Patrick Taylor versus Lou Nichols versus Tyler Goodson. Well, Lou gets banged up. Tyler Goodson gets banged up. It sounds like he plans to play on Saturday. And then Emmanuel Wilson comes in, and he has the most rushing yards in the NFL right now, preseason. You know, obviously that 80-yard touchdown against the Bengals was pretty sweet. That helped. But, God, it's you watch him, like, move, and it's unimpressive. But there's no wasted movement with that guy. And it sucks because LaFleur has brought up multiple times where he says his conditioning isn't up to par, up to snuff, which isn't good. I don't think he's on any special teams units. Him and Goody have both said that special teams is kind of what's important. We talked about in the past too, where Patrick Taylor is on like 9 different special teams packages or whatever. So it seems like if I had to guess right now, I think it is going to be Jones, Dylan, and Patrick Taylor who makes it. And then we're going to just do that call up deal with the practice squad there on out. If we need a different guy to come
in, it's going to be Lou's going to be on the team.
I don't think so. Well,
you think he's not going to be on the team? You think he'll be on the practice squad?
I think we'll cut him and he'll be on the practice squad because Goody doesn't like cutting draft picks, but he will cut them. Like Jake Hansen, he got cut.
Can they find a way to just throw him on the pup or something?
Well, that's the joke kind of, and they were talking about that last year even with Amari, where it's like, oh, damn, he dropped a weight on his toe. He's got to go on the IR. You know, that's – and I wouldn't mind that with
redshirt
of the
– can we just redshirt him?
Exactly. And maybe that'll happen with Tay Wicks, I believe, is injured right now again, too. So maybe that's what will happen
with
him.
Yeah, he's got a hammy.
That's what it is. Okay.
Side note on Dontavian Wicks, though, is people are saying that he's a pretty good blocker and happens to wear the number 13.
Interesting. I had not heard that. I didn't think he was that big.
Beat writer
guy.
Said that. I can't remember who it was. He's not a huge guy.
Yeah.
He's like 6'1", I think. But.
Oh, and then the only other thing I'd say is Emmanuel Wilson reminds me of Sam Congato. I looked it up too. Same height, pretty much same weight. Gatto was a little faster, but who knows?
You're just a Sam Congato stan.
Everyone loves Sam Congato being the fucking heart surgeon. Ugh, I don't know. Us diehards, us railbirds from back in the day are all big Sam Congato fans. Moving on to the tight ends, which we mentioned briefly there. Tyler Davis tore his ACL since the last time we talked, which, you know, you think isn't that big of a deal, but he is kind of the special teams guy. Rich Bisaccia said that it's like losing your right hand or thumb or something like that. So he was very, very devastated with the torn ACL, which does suck. And I think Wildy was talking about it too. How he wrote a piece how last year, Tyler Davis was really struggling, and this year it's been the opposite, and he was really looking good on all the units and stuff, so that's a big bummer. But other than that, obviously, Luke Musgrave is the guy to talk about, the big, tall giraffe. He's been out on the field for every snap that Jordan Love has been on the field for. I think that's going to be the most interesting connection we'll see this year, because it seems like they're kind of off at times, but he's also going to be the biggest, you know, matchup problem that a defense will face when coming up against us. So, yeah, tight ends.
Do you know anything about Austin Allen?
I know he's very tall. I believe he's number 49.
Yep.
What is he, 6'8", 6'7"?
6'8", 253.
Yeah, fuck. It's
Is that the Mercedes Lewis replacement? Can he block? He better be able to block, right? I mean,
He was a practice squad signee last year, so he's been with the team for, I don't know, since the end of last year. So he's been in the system. But it's funny because Goody is just, you know, a sizist where we didn't even know we had another fucking 6'8 guy on the squad. You know, it's like, oh, shoot, he's gone. Oh, I guess we're having a freak step in. So I don't know how much he plays on special teams, but I'm sure he's a guy who they'd like to stash on the practice squad as well again.
You think Goody just goes, he goes to the trainers. He's like, throw away all the mediums and the smalls. And the larges, we don't need them. It's extra large to 6X, and that's it. That's all we have.
Unless he's trying to bring in a weapon for Aaron Rodgers. You know, the highest drafted weapon that – the two highest drafted weapons that Goody brought in for Aaron Rodgers are A.J. Dillon and Amari Rodgers.
Well, A.J. Dillon's an XXL guy.
Yeah, but he's about a, I don't know, XX. He plays like he's wearing a XS, maybe? Oof, God. That really smooth joke there, yeah. Spencer.
You should have gone for medium.
Yeah, fuck, that's a lot smoother. But yeah, he had a great block against the Patriots on
that
touchdown.
He had an awesome
so.
Block. I love that, actually.
And Tom Silverstein did say that he's looked better this camp as well, where he said it seems like the coaches really did get on him about putting a foot in the ground and just cutting up field. It's like, fuck. Literally, just do that.
Anybody could have told him that. Right. I think it's most disappointing when you see if he's Quadzilla. I want to see if you nickname yourself Quadzilla.
Yes.
You better run somebody over. Like,
yes.
I don't want to see you get arm tackled. And it's just like, ugh.
If you're putting overalls on after the game, after a winter game, and you're talking all this stuff, it's like, dude.
You have to run people over.
Yes, please.
You have to be Brandon Jacobs.
Yes. Like, God, that would be nice, yeah.
Yes.
Because we still have that ingrained in my brain, him running over Charles Woodson or Al Harris, one of the first drives in the 2007 NFC Championship game. Just, that, like, you know, we need Eddie Lacy back.
We need a dog. We need somebody that's like, they get a swing pass or a toss play out on the outside, and it's not run to the corner. It's the linebackers in front of you, and I'm going to run them over. Like, that's what we need for a power back, and we don't have that. Maybe this year we will. Let's be optimistic. Yeah. I just want him to be, like, aggressive. Like, that's what I want. That's the change of pace we need, is, like, aggressive.
That is one of those things, too, with these running backs and some of these guys we haven't seen. Like, Tyler Goodson has said he's good to go, even though he's had that sling and stuff. I wonder if they're not putting some of these guys on the field because they don't want other teams to see him so that they can stash him on the practice squad as well. So,
like Tyler Goodson? Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying. They want to stash guys in the practice squad. Okay, yeah, maybe. Yep.
Offensive line, like I mentioned, Jake Hansen was cut on Tuesday with a shin injury. I feel bad for him. He was not a good player, but I mean, he started week one last year, and now he's cut before final cutdowns.
Yeah.
But man, that dude, he was getting hurt. And he didn't play, and the dude always got hurt. I feel bad for him. But other than that, it's been a, once again, interesting group this year with the offensive line. Obviously, a bunch of tackle depth, very little interior depth, but it does seem like Josh Myers, God, I always feel, when I say his name, I always think I should be saying Chris Myers. Josh Myers seems to be the starting center, even though he, once again, had a bad snap against the Patriots. Which, again, so the excuse for that was he saw someone jump, you know, out his peripherals in the neutral zone, he thought, so he snapped it. If I'm getting ready to play the Packers and I know that, I'm having guys jump and not go in the neutral zone.
A little shimmy.
All the time. Like a third down or something, too, like a big play. Just do that and try to cause some disruption. If you can force an early snap, why not do that as much as possible?
I don't think that's what happened. I think he needed to make up an excuse.
Everyone said that, and you watched the tape, and a guy did jump. He wasn't far, but
so
that's
corroborated.
That's one of those things that was ingrained in his brain, too, with Rodgers, who would yell at him for not snapping it if someone jumps. So now he's going to keep doing it. But Rashid Walker, he's been kind of the name to talk about this last week, the seventh-round pick out of Penn State last year. He's been playing a lot at left tackle with David Bakhtiari taking, it seems like he practices one day and will take 2 days off.
Yep.
So it's been Rashid Walker, who started against the Patriots and looked really good as well. Didn't give up any pressures, I think. But now Caleb Jones as well, the second-year player, the monster, who's like 6'9 out of Indiana. He's gotten in that mix of being the backup left tackle as well. A lot of people, and I might be on my own for this, but a lot of people think Yosh could be traded. And that very well could happen. You know, he's still a solid tackle in this league. But the way the Packers have handled the offensive line through the LaFleur era, I wouldn't be surprised if week one we do line up with Zach Tom at center and Yosh starting at right tackle, because I think having Yosh stay at right tackle, because people are like, oh, wow, Yosh isn't getting these backup left tackle snaps. I think he's more likely to play right tackle than any of those backups are at left tackle, where it's either Josh Myers is going to have a very short leash at center, or they want to have a plan prepared where if someone goes down, you're not moving your whole offensive line around. You know, you're not moving Josh from right tackle to left tackle, you know, Tom from right tackle to wherever. So I think they're trying to simplify it that way. But at the end of the day, it looks like we're going to keep 9 offensive linemen. I would guess it's going to be Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, John Running Jr., Zach Tom, Yosh Nyman, Josh Myers, and then it'll be Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, and Caleb Jones. And after that, you know, Luke Tenuta, he's gone. Jake Hansen's already gone. And then Cole Schneider, the center we signed a couple weeks ago, who was with the team previously as well. Yep. I think they're all gone too. So great depth at tackle, really bad depth in the interior.
Right, yeah. And side note, Caleb Jones, 6'9", 370. I know we've talked about before, but he's a monster.
Gigantic, and I believe his father owns a barbecue restaurant, whatever city he's from.
Can he play guard? Just for fun.
I don't think he can bend over enough to play guard.
Sit on someone, just pancake him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a really. Zach Tom on the right side has played amazing too, so it's tough to like.
He got bitched today. Rashawn Gary, they said he. It was in Reggie practice. White in the Super Bowl. They said, forearm shimmy just fucking pushed him over. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, is he a little bit smaller? Smaller than Yosh.
A little bit.
6'4", 304.
He did put some pounds on this offseason, too, yes.
Yeah. I'm interested. So you're saying you think Yosh would get traded? Wouldn't you, if you're the Packers, looking at if you have a surplus in tackles – and you, let's say you have a tackle who maybe sat out for like a year and a half. Wouldn't you maybe look in that direction for a trade?
That's what people have said too. That was the big thing when moving
just
on.
Just X's and O's, right? Like just looking at it on paper.
But I don't, that's why I also think this, and I, you know, by the time you're listening to this, maybe we did trade Yosh. But the thing about it too is we have a lot of depth at tackle right now, but not a lot of long-term depth. David Bakhtiari is not going to be on the Packers next year. Yash is only on under contract for this year. And then we've got these young dudes, you know, so maybe that's why they're sticking.
Maybe that is why you get rid of Dave, because you want the long term. And Dave's injured all the time.
Yes, but at the same time, I don't think they want to get rid of one of the best left tackles in the league when you have, you know, a huge evaluation going on with your new starting quarterback. You don't want to put out a seventh rounder undrafted dude at left tackle to replace him. Now, maybe the year goes to shit.
I don't disagree.
Create him down the line, but I'm looking at the long term of this offensive line and the tackle position. Yes, Zach Tom can be there, but Josh Myers, his contract's going to be coming up too, and I don't think he's going to perform that well. I would want to see Yash play right tackle. One, so if he's good, fucking sign him. He's your right tackle.
Yep.
Tom, you can figure out a spot for him.
Move on from
David, whatever. God, where was I going with this? Oh, but then also, if you play Yash more, his value is going to go up if you do want to trade him later in the year. But more importantly, at the end of the year, that compensation pick you're going to get is going to go up too if he gets a better deal. So I don't know. I think you have a better offensive line if Yash plays right tackle and Tom plays center. And it also benefits you in the future because someone else is going to sign Yash and you'll get a better compensatory
pick. You're looking for a comp pick.
That, and I think it's the best offensive line. And I think it's the cheapest offensive line.
Yeah, no, you're probably right.
As well.
I'm just thinking if you're going to look to trade somebody.
Yes.
Dave seems like the obvious choice because of
in a vacuum. Yes.
And the fact that he's not even practicing every day.
Right.
Like that has to make you nervous as a GM.
I guess I would.
You don't say you're nervous, but everybody in the building has got to be going like, man, I really hope Dave's knee is good.
Yeah, but it isn't. I don't think there's like a new injury or anything. It's just his wear and tear because this is what they did all of last year too. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be an ongoing thing all year.
But it's
forever questionable is Bakhtiari.
Right, which is a problem. Because you look at Rashawn Gary, granted, different age, different people, but like look at how Rashawn has come back from the ACL.
Yes.
And then look at Dave. Like there's something wrong with Dave's knee. If he's not playing.
There's obviously something wrong with it, but it does seem like a lot of it is mental. Like reading between the cracks from last year and looking how the way things played out and the way people have talked about it, he doesn't like to play on turf. And one of the biggest things for me too was that game against the Commanders in Washington, the worst field in the fucking league pretty much. And he was a surprise. Oh, Saturday pops up. He's questionable. And sure as shit, he doesn't play on Sunday. I don't think that's because something popped up. I think it's because David didn't want to play on that grass with his knee. And they did it late in the week for a competitive advantage so that the Commanders didn't know he wasn't going to play. But I think the Packers knew all along he wasn't going to. Just the way anytime they talk about Dave, Matt gets like this weird face on him. And there's something goofy going on where I think he's pretty much said, I don't want to do certain things if I don't feel comfortable and you've invested tens of millions of dollars in me. I don't want to go out there and get hurt. I think
I could see that.
That's what's going on.
That's also a problem for me, though. If
yes.
Dude, like,
oh, yeah.
You have to go play football.
Yes. It, maybe
like, you're
it'll
not
be different
worth
this
$10 million
too.
If you play 50% of the games.
Right.
So then you're not worth anymore. I also have another thing, too, because do you remember when he said before somebody questioned on him after – I think it was after this season, somebody questioned him and he's like, no, he's like, dude, I get so much fluid in my knee.
Yes.
He's like, they pull liters of fluid out of my knee. So it's not, I don't think it's all mental. I think there's legitimately, he's even said, I mean, like when you get that fluid buildup in your knee, and I think it's probably normal to some extent. I've heard about people getting it before, just like people that I know, but like, you don't get it for forever.
That's what
wrong.
That second year was because it kept flaring up, you know, and they had to drain it. And that's why week 17 he played and it flared up again because he talked to Nagler that offseason. And then last year, you know, they had to drain his knee again. So it's a little bit of both.
I'm saying they still have to drain his knee and that's the problem. That's my guess.
I don't know.
I'm saying there's still something actively wrong with his knee and that's why he's not playing every day. He's not practicing every day.
I think, yeah, there's like aftershock effects, but I don't think there's anything major going on right
now. Can we
give him Rashawn's
ACL and then Rashawn can grow a new one in 3 months?
Yeah, isn't that fucking wild? And on top of that, Rashawn Gary tore his ACL, obviously, and Eric Stokes had his ankle injury the same game, and it looks like Stokes is going to be on the PUP, and Gary's, you know, probably going to suit up week one. He might not play a ton, but he'll be ready to go.
Animal.
Yeah. Defense, got to start with fucking Mr. Joe Barry. In his presser, his weekly, monthly presser, and this just sums up Joe Barry and the Packers defense so well, I think. So they asked him about, you know, being up in the press box, which I'm sure a lot of people heard about, how he finally called a game from the press box against the Bengals, his first time ever doing it, and then he did it against the Patriots as well. And he said that he really liked it. You know, he could see everything. He could lay out all his papers and stuff, and how he was always so against it, but he never tried it. And then after he tried it, he was like, wow, this is great. It seems like he's going to be in the up there this year calling the defense. Ironically, later in that press conference, Ryan Wood brought up the potential of playing Rasul Douglas at safety, because earlier in that day or the previous day, Rasul, you know, kind of jokingly at his locker said he was the starting safety for the Packers. And Joe Barry said, I've never seen Rasul Douglas play safety. He's our starting corner. When Rasul Douglas did take snaps last training camp at safety, but he pushes back on it. So, one, it just shows you how Joe Barry doesn't want to try different things. And even though when you try different things, it could be beneficial, like going to the booth, like trying Rasul Douglas out at safety. But it's also weird that he said he hasn't seen him play safety. So I wonder if they have that idea and potentially they'll do that this year, but he was kind of pushing back because they don't want anything to come out. But either way, I thought that just shows the irony of how Joe Barry's brain works.
Yeah, I mean, whatever for him. If anything, any change is good for Joe. Change it all. Let's run a different defense. That couldn't be worse.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that too with Lucas Van Ness's comments this week too. Other than that, Jair, he hasn't played much. He's got that groin injury, but it seems like he's being held out more so precautionary than anything else. Carrington Valentine, I believe we've talked about him in the past, but got the 7th round pick out of Kentucky. Had a great game against the Bengals. He got burnt to shit by Booty on the Patriots. But either way, a 7th round pick. It seems like he's going to be a dude eventually. I don't think we'll see a ton of him this year unless we do have some injuries or move someone to safety like Rasul. But I don't think that's going to happen. And then there's William Hooper, the undrafted rookie out of Northwestern State, who's been pretty solid. He is currently the highest rated corner on Pro Football Focus.
Oh,
any corner thoughts there, Todd?
Not really. Nothing new, I guess. Still
true. Yeah.
Still a more solid group at the top with question marks below. But I think it's good to see Carrington, you know, having some success. I mean, albeit did get burned, but get some reps in there and be nice to add a little bit of depth to that group.
Yeah, he looks good at number 37 as well.
Sticky.
Safety. God. So we had our like bold prediction thing on our last episode or two episodes ago.
Yeah.
You said that the, I said the defensive line would underperform. You said the safety group would underperform.
Safeties, yep.
Far and away the safeties. The safeties are fucking, there's been no good news about the safeties. It seems like Darnell Savage is locked in at the starting spot, but fuck, man. Like Tom Silverstein said this today, too. He said the only players he feels confident about making this team from the safety group is Darnell Savage, Rudy Ford, and Anthony Johnson Jr. And that's it. They've rotated Tavarius Morin, Jonathan Owens, who has not looked good, who apparently looked good in practice but has not played well in the games. If it were up to me, it's like, yeah, have Savage and Rudy out there. I'd probably put Rudy and Anthony Johnson Jr. just so that, you know, you assume Anthony Johnson Jr. would get better over the season, but fuck, man, it is not good. They look lost out there. I wouldn't be surprised if we did something similar to last year where we picked up Rudy Ford after final cuts. I wouldn't be surprised if we end up cutting
somebody.
Yeah. If we do cut like Tavarius Moore, Jonathan Owens, and then scoop someone up.
And we put Simone in and just see how she does. Swap Simone and Jonathan Owens.
That's a Miles. Yeah, I wonder if this is one of those things where Mark Murphy pops his head in the room and he's like, you know, the interactions on social media would be a lot better if, you know, Simone Biles was in Green Bay for the season. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty let down. Hopefully they look better. But fuck, it's like Dallin Leavitt. You know, I feel better about Dallin Leavitt making this team than Jonathan Owens or Tavarius Moore just because of how much he plays special teams, especially with Tyler Davis going down now. It seems like Leavitt is pretty much a shoe-in to make the roster. So
the positive that I will say is I think you can probably go out on the street and pick up a better safety. Your odds to – let's say it this way. Your odds to go out on the street and pick up a decent safety are probably better than your odds to go out on the street and pick up any other position.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to do it last year.
Serviceable. Right.
Yeah.
Great ones are hard to come by.
It's literally how we, you know, got Rudy Ford. So hopefully someone gets cut on these cut downs here and we can scoop them up and implement them. But
yes, position, everybody in that room should be renting right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody should buy a house because it's not looking great right now.
Right. Yes. Inside linebacker, I don't really have anything to talk about. Devondre Campbell's banged up right now. I'm sure he'll be fine to start the season. And still, we haven't seen the flashes from Quay yet, which I hope we will see come the regular season.
He's like, have you ever picked up a car magazine and you're like at the dentist and they have like, oh, the new 2020 Mustang, but it's got like a cover over it. That's Quay Walker in training camp. They're just hiding
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah. No. Well, you should have done a better one like the... I don't think they do it anymore, but I remember checking out at gas stations when you're like a kid and they have like the Playboys and there's like a plastic cover over the top in some very sensitive areas. Maybe that's what.
Sure. Right. Okay. Both analogies work.
Yeah. outside linebacker, the other big piece of news this week, well, I guess 2 weeks ago was big news where he started practicing, but Rashawn Gary participated in 11-on-11s on Tuesday. And again, like I said earlier, on Wednesday, the last day of training camp, apparently absolutely destroyed Zach Tom. So that's pretty good. JJ, Inigbare, I mean, fucking toasted the Patriots. Apparently, those two practices, he was grilling them too. They don't have a good offensive line. And then in the game, he obviously had the strip sack, which is pretty fucking cool.
Was he the one that like had like the... He was like long arming the dude,
yeah,
like
straight
all
arm
the way back to that was nice.
Just bullied him, yeah. So, and once again, the first depth chart that came out, they had him as the fifth dude, and it seems like he's going to start the year as that third rotational guy, at least with Rashawn.
Yeah.
And so, again, I feel fucking awesome about these guys. You know, Lucas Van Ness is going to be the fifth dude, he's probably been disappointing as far as what we were looking forward to in this drink.
You think he's number five behind Hollins?
He absolutely is, I think. He might get more snaps than him.
Hollins, as the year goes on, he will.
For sure. And apparently Lucas Van Ness is still pretty solid in the run game. But, I mean, Hollins was a great pickup for us late last year.
He was.
But I wouldn't be shocked if we cut him, if, you know, depending on the numbers, just because of Brenton Cox, the undrafted guy,
who's
cheaper and has looked pretty good.
I would hate to see Hollins get cut. I would really want to see, I mean, whoever is going to take his place has got to perform pretty well, because he would come in on third downs and just be like, he just got to the quarterback. It was nothing crazy flashy. He just got there.
Yeah, he was.
It was amazing.
It was surprising how solid of a starter he was to just pick up, you know.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and that's what maybe we don't cut him at the end of camp here, but I could see him being a guy that we move on from in season once Lucas Van Ness or even Brenton Cox looks the part, depending on what's going on there.
Sure. So we cut him when we trade for a safety because we're plus 500 going into the trade deadline.
That has to be it. That's what's going to happen. Oh, and then what I was going to say is Lucas Van Ness on Tuesday said, quote, coach said the playbook is pregnant. I would say the reason he said that is because, you know, we talked about how Joe Barry is changing his scheme again.
Well, no, what did he say, though? He said why.
Yeah, but that part's not funny. Let me tell the joke here. So the reason it's pregnant is because Joe Barry, you know, he's letting the players have influence. It's because the players have now fucked his playbook. That's what's happened. So it's now different because he's letting the players influence it. So that's the joke.
Okay, well, that was pretty good. But I did like Lucas Van Ness's reasoning also. It was it was very
sappy.
It's always
growing, and it's better. You're incubating your thoughts. It's like, yeah, okay, I know. Thank you, Lucas. Yes, we've heard all the same cliche stuff. I like him. He's got the best hair on the team, Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, he's Johnny Bravo.
Well,
he
that's
is Johnny Bravo.
What's coming back this year, God, I think someone mentioned something similar on Twitter, but it's like the backwards hats, the white guys in backwards hats. It's like Lucas Van Ness. If you see Tucker
Lucas
Kraft,
Van Ness and the two tight ends.
Yeah, like, that's what it is.
Put them all in a room and tell them apart.
I did notice, too, the Musgrave and Kraft on Saturday or whatever, that Patriots game, they both had the same face paint, the black face paint on the side of the nose going all the way down. So I wonder if they're going to do that shit all year and just be the fucking Bash Brothers. So
it's like the Smith Bros again.
Yeah, except wider and taller. Yes.
Yes.
Defensive line, Wyatt, like I said, dropped out of practice today because it was too hot. He had a pretty good week against the Bengals, not so good against the Patriots. Haven't heard too much about him, but TJ Slayton again, Bill Huber had him as his player of the game or player of the practice for the last practice of training camp. And then the guys on the field, I mean, Colby Wooden has been solid, and I should just say this, this preseason, usually I'm pretty good at numbers and shit, and obviously we see him when we draft these guys, bring them in, but so many times I'm like, who's 96? Who's 94? You know, you have to double check these things. But Colby Wooden, number 96, he's been solid. And then Carl Brooks had a really good game against the Patriots. We had a couple pressures. He's been better than expected. You know, again, this defensive line group, I think we're going to keep six. I think we are going to keep, I always forget his name.
Jonathan Ford.
Jonathan Ford, number 99, the nose tackle. It sounds like we're going to probably keep him too. But either way, it's the addition by subtraction, just moving on from Dean Lowry. Hopefully these guys can perform this year and a run defense can actually be average. All I want is average. I think our pass D is going to be great. I think our run D, if it can be average, I'm elated.
I think the goal this year, I think if you look at the guys that we have, you keep Jonathan Ford, you've got Tadarius Slayton, you've got Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. I'm just thinking run game here. And then you got Lucas Van Ness if you need to put a big body in on the outside, right, to stuff the run. I mean, maybe not super serviceable yet, but I think it looks to be his forte is run at this point, right? Like, he's a big body. I think the strategy for the defense is stop the run, but we got to get pressure before they throw the ball and torch our safeties.
Yeah.
Because the safeties are – so we got to get pressure on them. Maybe do a little press coverage. I don't know what it looks like, but don't play 15 yards off the ball and give them free pass plays. Like, stop the run. The new identity has got to be stop the run. And
yes.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's everybody, but I think we actually have the personnel to do it if we keep those big bodies and rotate them in and out.
Yeah, we'll see. It's funny you say that too, because it really is. And that's kind of been what they've gone for in the Aaron Rodgers era, was just good enough of a defense that if you get a lead, you can just rush and try to make plays. But
we were always bad against the run. It was make them throw the ball so we can pin our ears back. Like, that was always the strategy, right?
Right.
And like, let them run. We'll put up more points than you. Like, that was what it was. Where now I think it's maybe shifting a little bit. Like, we need to stop the run. And then,
yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It's just tough because we haven't had a good run defense in a while. I think Pettine's first year, we might have been solid. And then like 2014 was probably the last time where we had a decent run defense too, with Johnny Jolly and those guys. But
yeah.
I don't know. It's dumb. We're just in that point of our fandom where, you know, it's like fans are like, oh, I'm looking forward to throwing to the middle of the field and our quarterback being nice to receivers and having a run defense. It's like, well, yes, but if we get all of that and everything else goes to shit, it's like, oh, well, this still sucks too. So
yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, we're always looking at like, oh, we're going to be better here this year because of this, but it's like, where are we going to suck? Well,
yes,
we're going to suck at safety. So yeah, it's a pretty important part of the field to be good at.
Right. And that's why I'm like, hey, if we're going to suck at safety, let's pick the guy who's going to suck, but he's going to get better. Yeah.
Blitz the shit out of him. That's what we got to do.
I wonder, I don't know. Joe Barry, I don't know. That's the thing, too. It's like, we're like, this is the year. He's going to be more aggressive. But it's like, his job was on the fucking line at the end of last year. I guess he did put it together. But he didn't really change anything. Better. I think they played more like cover six and shit like that. But outside of that, it was just, I don't know.
Who knows? Is your job ever on the line if Matt's the head coach?
No. Yeah. So, only if...
only if Matt's job is on the line.
Well, the only guys who he's really fired was Mike Pettine, who he didn't really pick. The two special teams coordinators, which he was kind of forced to bring in. He did like Murray Straight from the beginning. And then Elvis Whitted, the wide receiver coach, the first year he moved on from. And then we've had Jason Vrabel ever since, who, I don't know, mixed reviews, I would say, sure, for him. Special teams, Anders Carlson, fuck. For how many moving parts we're going to have this year, I wish we wouldn't have to worry about kicker, but it seems like we're going to have to worry about kicker. He didn't kick on the last day of training camp. The day before that, he was 2 for 6, I believe. He missed the extra points against the Bengals. It seems like he can kick pretty well in Lambeau, but outside of Lambeau, he's erratic. The other point or two was yesterday when he had those misses, I believe, Three of the four came with Whelan, the rookie punter, holding. So that might give you a bit of a clue for who's going to be the punter this year. But I don't. I like the idea of Anders. I think he can get it together. He seems like a really smart dude too. He's got a big leg. Just the way the ball leaves his foot on these field goals too, it pops up. So I don't think he's going to get a lot of these. Knock on wood, a lot of blocked kicks. But if he can put it together, I think he's a guy who could be in the league for a while.
If he can kick the ball through the two yellow posts, he could be in the league for a long time. If he goes 2 for 6 a lot, he will probably not be in the league for very long unless we decide to do some charity work.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, God, you got me there. I can't say anything better than that.
I don't know anything about kickers. Kick it through, kick it through those two yellow things.
It's literally that's one of the things where everyone can agree on. It's like, well, that kick was good. Oh, that kick was no good.
I don't know anything about it, but yeah. If it goes through the two,
good enough. And good.
See you next time.
And we know he has to kick better than Mason Crosby on kickoffs, at least. Apparently in his Instagram videos, Crosby's been posting some. He's had like 60-yard field goals he made or something too. So he did have surgery during training camp or sometime in the spring last year, so that might have affected some of.
Does he have any interest from other teams? Like,
not yet, but I would be shocked if he doesn't kick somewhere next year. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't. Well, it's probably maybe it's by design too, where he doesn't necessarily want to show up for training camp and go through that type of grind this early, but I would bet he'll be signed in the next 2 weeks, if not pretty early in the season. Because, again, the Cowboys seem to be the perfect spot for them. I know they gross. Cut a kicker, but it's gross. But to see him with gross. Mike again, I'd be like, ah, shucks. That's
okay.
Yeah, that's
kind of fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. Forget and then Mike. Punting, it's O'Donnell and Whelan. Like I said, I think Pat O'Donnell is going to be the dude. I don't know if he has anything after this year left for his contract, so maybe it would be perfect to get Whelan on the practice squad and train him up, because to literally just learn how to hold. If Whelan can learn how to hold, it seems like he'd be a actual professional, a solid kicker or punter, I should say. So
yeah, he's the one who had like the really significant hang time on like all his punts, right?
Like, and he's like everyone else, he's 6'5" or 6'6" too, right. Like another just fucking beast. Yes. So we'll see. And then a long snapper is probably going to be Orzich, the guy from the Rams who has a Super Bowl ring. But even, I don't know. The other thing that Tom Silverstein pointed out is it seems like when Anders misses, it's on bad snaps. And if there's anything extra, that's where he kind of misses. And he did say how Pat O'Donnell is so good at holding and how quick he can get it down, where that's probably going to be the determining factor here. So that would be my pick as well, obviously. But that is the team. That is the entire football team. Any Any surprise cuts you think might happen? Or I know we went over it a little bit there, but
I think I really think that Josiah DeGuara is not on the team this year.
That seems to be kind of that's one of the
maybe surprise that's not a surprise, guys. But I think when you take him and you move him to fullback, that's
never a good sign.
Yeah, that's a death sentence. Like, yeah. I don't think.
I mean, Jonathan Garvin had his position moved and didn't even make it to the first day of training camp, I think. Or he had the first one and then they cut him pretty much.
It's just not a good sign.
Yeah.
And to move him, it's like one thing to go from like defensive end to tight end or tight end to defensive end. It's another thing to go from tight end to fullback, which is barely a position in the NFL. Unfortunately, true. I love fullbacks. Yeah. I'm a fullback stan, but I'm just saying you go from tight end to fullback and it's like, well, I don't even think he was that good of a blocker.
Right. And that's what everyone has said too.
So you go from being a tight end who's not a great blocker and then you put him at fullback. It's like, he's gone.
Yeah, because I would like more of that, 21 personnel where we have two backs. Like, I want a lead blocker. I don't think I want that to be.
I'm pro 22 personnel.
Oh, yeah, that's what's weird too. Because it's like you could convince me to keep seven receivers, but this is the one year for on the field. We do not need seven receivers.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be tough because I feel like one of those receivers or two of those receivers is going to go off and have a good year somewhere else, no matter who we keep.
Right,
like somebody's leaving and somebody's going to the Lions. And they're going to put up 600 yards this year.
Yeah. You know? Like, but we do think that a lot of years. And then I would say 90% of the time, it doesn't happen. You know, like,
or remember, it happens for 1 year and then they're gone.
What was it? It was like DeAndre Borrell, Torrey Gurley back in the day. There's always these wide receivers. You know, Darius Shepherd. We loved Darius Shepherd fucking 4 years ago. So I don't know. We'll see. I think whoever they do cut for the receiver group will probably be back on the practice squad. But. Who knows? And yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's many surprising cuts for me. I would agree. It's someone like Josiah DeGuara. Some people have mentioned AJ Dillon. I don't think that'll happen. And
gets cut?
Yeah, some people.
No chance.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Just the way they've been using him too. That would be
shocking. Just would be so odd. I mean, who knows how the offensive line is going to shake out? And I mean, what do you think? Do you think we keep three QBs?
No, I would. It's got to be Alex Magoo. Who gives a fuck? If someone scoops up Alex Magoo, that's fine. It's going to be Sean Clifford and Jordan Love. I don't think, especially with when you're having kind of this rebuild year too, which they keep talking about how Goody's kind of admitted to. Just again this past week when he talked to the media with Mercedes Lewis not coming back, he said, "We're here to win championships, and last year wasn't good enough," which. I agree with that's fine. It is funny too because he's strictly kind of putting the blame on Aaron Rodgers because he said the exact same thing at the season-ending press conference after we traded Aaron Rodgers. He said, "Well, because Willie asked him, you know, you said you'd always put up with a Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes with it, but it's always worth it to put up with it." And then Goody was like, "Yeah, well, I said that before, but you know, we went 8-9 this year, and that's not good enough." So it seems to be. The statement that they make for moving on from these guys. So
I'm looking at the defense too. You talk surprise cuts and like, I don't know that I see anything that would be like a surprise for me of like there's, guys who would be cut. Cause there's guys who for sure are not getting cut. And then there's everybody else, right? There's nobody like on the edge. It feels like.
Yeah. There's no one that will get cut that we'd be like, oh my God, it would be like,
right.
Oh, you know, that's about it.
Right.
Stupid little stories that we've had connected with these guys just about like the safety group, you know, Tavarius Moore, Jonathan Owens, one of those guys gets cut. It's like, wow, this would have been surprising if you told me this 2 months ago, but right now, not really the case.
Yeah. And even that linebacker too, it's like Quay, Devondre, probably Eric Wilson, Isaiah McDuffie. And then it's like,
if we could Isaiah McDuffie, I'd be surprised, I guess. But again, I'd be like, like he's never been a game changer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And nothing that's going to shock you, I don't think, on defense. So
yeah, but other than that, great pod. I guess we didn't mention it off the top, but new intro, close personal friend Jeff Janis,
yes,
legend. You know, now
love Jeff.
a lot of legends. It was Danny Vitale and then Mercedes Lewis and now Jeff Janis. And I guess with Jeff Janis now, he can't play for another team. He's kind of retired, so maybe he'll end up being our intro for a while now. But absolute Packers note, legend.
I was so excited for Danny Vitale when we got the super back out of Northwestern. So much potential.
Well, God, well, how about this? Answer to this question. Who who would you rather have on the roster right now? They're making the squad. They're taking that third tight end, that fourth running back, that fullback spot. Danny Vitale or Aaron Ripkowski?
Ooh. I think.
Do you want that versatility or do you want that big old beaver looking boy?
I'm taking the beaver. I'm taking Ripkowski because he's a man. And
I think I am too.
Danny was like a workout king too. Like Danny was no slouch. He was a strong dude, but like the versatility at fullback doesn't play. And I think that's what we figured out with Danny. Like I wanted it to play so bad. But it just doesn't play in the NFL right now. And like Ripkowski could play like that matters.
I mean, he did play for a few years for us too, but God, I wonder what world we live in if he doesn't fumble in that, was that the Falcons NFC championship game or was that the Niners when he was on
the team?
Threw
him the ball and he fumbled it?
No, I think
we threw him the ball one time. Maybe he didn't fumble it.
I thought he ran right up the middle and fumbled it in a big game. I think it was the 2016 NFC Championship game, but I could be wrong. But either way, like you're saying, I'd rather have that big old bull instead of the workout warrior.
Give me Ripkowski. Like, that's the guy that like goes to the gym and he's like, I'm squatting today. And they're like, you squatted 6 days in a row. He's like, I'm squatting again.
Yes.
Put 600 pounds on. We're going. Like, that's who I want.
Vitale is the fun preseason project. We're like, what if we did this with the offense?
Yeah.
And then Aaron Ripkowski, you know, Vitale's the guy who goes to the gym and posts a lot of gym selfies, mirror selfies. Ripkowski, like you said, he's in there squatting every day and nobody knows he's
Ripkowski
there.
He's got a big,
thick sweatshirt on and you don't see his eyes.
Ripkowski leaves his phone in his car and he goes inside. He doesn't even have music.
Yeah, I was going to say no music, just his own inner monologue is what gets him going.
God, he was like, wasn't he like a state champion lifter in Texas? And like,
I don't know.
Super strong.
He was streaming for a while on Twitch for a while. He was
really
having that going. Yeah, the big old red beard. I never watched any of that.
In my
shit,
head, he doesn't play video games. In my head, he's like up at 3 a.m. to milk the cows.
Yes.
Like, which that's is probably what I imagine.
What Jordy is doing right now. But
it's true. Yes. Yeah.
It would be nice, you know, if Pearson makes the team, I'd be for it too. That wouldn't shock me either. If nothing else, just if you look at his picture, his team picture, which on the roster it's hard to do because then you click him and you want to see the big version of it, and I never can. He's got like
that
mullet, the jawline, and he looks pissed. I'm like, this is
like
80s Miami Hurricanes fullback.
He does. He literally does look like he could play at Miami. I would love to keep a fullback. I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, there's you can't much... force it. You got to find the guy. You know, that's what DeGuara is. We wanted, you know, that type of guy, and we kind of forced
your H back, and he just is not. Yeah. It's just not panning out, and so they moved him to fullback as like a send off to not cut him in camp.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
Know. It'd be great I love fullbacks, but yeah, I don't think it's happening this year.
Yeah, knock on wood. Maybe next year, but. Yeah. With that, the last preseason game against Seattle, I believe it's at Lambeau, and it's a noon kickoff. You see this, how they had all these kickoffs at different times so the team could prepare for a different type of game day for when kickoff is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why they had this noon one last time. It was at 7, and I think before that it might have been at like 3 or 4 or something like that. So Seattle kickoff is at 6, 7, whatever it is. And then Tuesday is cutdowns where they go from 90 to the 53-man roster.
I'm looking at it online. It says at noon.
Yes. Sorry. That's what I originally said, and then I went back
Seattle
and said 7.
Seattle game is at noon.
Yes,
yeah.
It's at noon on Saturday. My bad. Okay. Previous one was 7. The one before that might have been 3. But other than that, like the pod, whatever, leave a review. That's cool. Tell someone about the podcast, even if they don't like the Packers, I don't fucking care. Just tell them to subscribe, unsubscribe, fuck them, whatever.
Yeah,
do that.
Tell them that.
Yeah, fuck them. With that, there you go. That's a good way to sign off. Todd, do you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Yeah, I guess fullback talk probably covered it. So with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away.
Cigarette.